Peace be with all of you. And we ask that God consecrated this time, and then after that, we will receive the Holy Communion together. Now, all of us must know that our God gave us this Bible, and that is the truth, and that is the Word of God. Without the truth, no one can repent. And why? Because without the truth, how can we know where our sin and wrong is? And when humans come to the earth, we live as we please. But in fact, we have fallen short of the glory of God, and there's no one righteous man. And only the truth tells us this. But in our nature, we just think that as long as we don't harm people and we live by our conscience, and that is good enough. Now, the fallen man only take the standard from the human conscience. But only when God uses His truth to shine on us, then we can be convicted of our sin. And Jesus said that, "I am the truth," and then He preaches the truth. And He said that through Me, then you can go to the Father. If you know Me, you know the Father. If you obey Me, you obey the Father. But if you resist Me, you also resist Father God. And when everyone hears this, strangely, humans, we have the deceitfulness in us. And so the apostles also have written the word and the truth revealed by God. But when people read this truth, they treat this truth with contempt, and they even distort the truth. So God not just gave us the truth, but God also gave us the Spirit of truth. So there is the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit uses the truth to shine into human hearts so that humans can see clearly their own sins, and because of their own sin, they will rebuild themselves. So we have to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. And just now, Deacon Jianwei also prayed. We also love all the churches of the Lord. But today, in the church, there is a very serious problem. And what is that? First, they didn't preach the truth faithfully. Another problem is they wrongly recognize the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will convict humans of our own sin for the sake of righteousness and judgment, so that we can repent. So we have to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is not we just wait or welcome upon the Holy Spirit. We must first understand the work of the Holy Spirit and believe in the work of the Holy Spirit and understand what is it. Now, the truth is the Bible as standard, but the moment they talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, then strangely, people don't understand what is it. Is it the fire coming down? Where does all this come from? Then they talk about some dreams and visions and images, and those that are very sensational or very of the senses. But actually, the Holy Spirit cannot be just confined to human senses. But so if humans started to seek Holy Spirit on the basis of human senses, then we'll be deceived by the evil one. So humans are always focused on the external, whether it's external fire or wind or external, a lot of the human factors and atmosphere. But you must know that greater than this is that the Spirit of truth enables men to understand the truth and be illuminated by the truth, such that men will repent and be humble and no longer live for himself but live for God. This is the greatest work of the Holy Spirit, and this is also His main work of being sent here. Now, today, the human history still exists. Today, this world still exists. And what is the reason? Because the Holy Spirit continues to do the work of convicting people of their sins. Through the servants of God, through the saints, the Holy Spirit continues, and the people of God continue to preach the truth of the gospel. And amazingly, when this happens, one by one, people started to believe. People whom you never imagined they will repent or come into the church, they actually they actually did. But you ask, why didn't I see all these things? I've been a believer for 10 years, 20 years, but my friends and relatives, they didn't believe before and now they still are not believers. Now, what's the answer? Two answers. First, it is because you didn't preach the gospel. As simple as that. Because what did the Lord say? The Holy Spirit comes and He will testify for me. And you must also testify. Actually, the Holy Spirit's heartbeat and the key and main work is to continue to testify Christ, to illuminate humans' heart, to let humans be aware of their sins. And Paul said, you must evangelize in and out of season. No matter what reasons you have, you know, you don't know how to evangelize or you're afraid to evangelize, but because you do not evangelize, then as a result of that, you cannot participate in the glorious work of the Holy Spirit convicting humans of their sin. So, but some people, they say they have been evangelizing, but you have to question, what is it that you are preaching? The gospel that you are preaching, is it Christ or is it through Christ, the things that you can have, you know, wealth, beauty, health, all kinds of things that earthly people wanted and on earth. So, do you mainly preach Christ as the supreme treasure to turn people to Christ, or what you're preaching is that through Christ, there are many things that can be received, the outcomes. And so some people, they are not sure of this, and that's why when they come to the church, they believe very fast. You look at the person, they seem to believe very fast, but very soon they will give up their faith and they will leave. So you will know, how can there be quick faith and quick disbelief? In fact, the person has never really truly believed. So if the preacher didn't tell others what the Holy Spirit wanted to preach or testify clearly and turn human hearts to Christ, then later on, whoever comes, you seems as if whatever comes later could be also powerful, but it may not be the work of the Holy Spirit. It could be the work of the lying spirit. Because when lies come, even humans cannot distinguish. So some people may think they have belief, but after when trials comes, they realize they give up the faith and they left the church. Now sometimes the church, they are very happy and very passionate in love, but suddenly because of some conflicts, people got divided and left the church. And why? Because of lies. The lies make people think that we have belief, or the lies make us think that the church has revived, but it's all lies. Now, the church has more and more programs to satisfy people, to provoke people's excitement, and then you use methods of the flesh to bring people to the church and retain people, instead of making people look lightly on what is the temporary and fleeting things, and look to the eternal glory of heaven. So, if we know the gospel, and we pray for our family and friends, and we only have one prayer, that they can know the gospel. A few days ago, our brother Jackie's mother has passed away. And then he keeps telling his mom about Jesus, and he entrusted the rest to God. But the Lord will be responsible, and the Lord is pleased with our lives. We rather have trials and sufferings on earth, but we don't want to be led into a false religion or lies. We must not rejoice because of falsehood. We rather on earth go through certain trials and difficulties like Paul, like Timothy, and he told Timothy, you know my faith, you know my way of life and my purpose, even my suffering, you know all this. I've gone through such suffering, but the Lord has helped me. So today, we come before the Lord. What is it that we wanted? What kind of spirit do we see working? Do not just look at the phenomenon kind of things. We must first be clear about the Word of God and recognize the true Word of God. May God give us this heart and help us abide by God's truth, that we have that kind of heart and courage. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So in this farewell discourse, we keep talking about the truth and the work of the Holy Spirit promised by God. Now, if we cannot see or we cannot see clearly, then last year and this year is a very good evidence. Why is it that when the pandemic comes, people just left the church without wanting to come back, and now church can be open already and people are still not coming back because of the many messages in the church that talks about what you can receive through Christ, but it's not centered on Christ. So if you only talk about things that you can receive through Christ, like success, health, and now because of the pandemic, because of the danger, people don't even have the risk-taking heart to be faithful to their faith. They even lose this kind of heart. And so some lies can only be exposed when trials come. But those whom the Lord loved, the people of the Lord, at this moment, they will earnestly want to worship God in church and hear the Word of God. And with all they can, even if they cannot be near to their family members, their family members can be overseas, but they try very hard to evangelize. Now we look at John chapter 16. A few more chapters later, Jesus will be going up to the cross, but in this farewell discourse, there's good mysteries. All this I've told you so that you will not go astray. And what kind of things? Last week, our message, the Lord tells us that the world will surely hate you, but before that, the world first hated me. I'm the head, you are the body. Now the world will be in enmity against you, but I've already told you this so that you will not stumble. So, in the original language, it seems to mean that if a person is suddenly shocked, he may stumble. It's like there's a trap, and then the animal got entrapped by it, or a fish hook. And the fish was looking for food, and once it bit it, it got hooked, and so it got a shock. So many a times, we realize that people of the world, they put their entire hopes on the world, and suddenly when a huge calamity strikes, or maybe they lost their job, or lost their loved one, they are totally devastated. So we have to understand, right now, just before the Lord came, went to the cross, He told the disciples so that the disciples will not be in sudden shock and stumble. But today, if you come to the church and what you hear every day is that in Christ, everything will be prosperous for you. You have money, you have health, and you'll be very happy without troubles. And then this is the best life, and you hear all these things. And suddenly when calamity strikes, would you be in shock suddenly and lose your faith? And later on you realize, actually you yourself have never truly believed. Or you have take God's word lightly. So our faith will surely have such things that we never thought of happening. For example, when Pastor was evangelizing in China, suddenly the police came to arrest me. Suddenly it happened. Just that at that moment, it was very shocking. Or some brothers and sisters, when they visited the doctor and they realized they have cancer, and then you are in shock. But amazingly, people who always put the truth in their heart and walk with God, even if they hear those shocking news, they will not stumble, not to the point of stumbling. But instead, God's peace will sustain them. And the voice in their heart is, the Lord has already mentioned this. I don't know whether you have experienced this before. And now verse 2. Now, verses 1 to 4 is a theme about how the world will be in enmity against us. Then verse 2, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. And why so? Why do they think so? Because they recognize the wrong God. So in the biblical Bible, we see the example. In the biblical example, we saw the example of Paul. He used to be Saul. He was so devoted such that he arrested Christians and put them in prison. And he thought that he's serving God and loving God as in what he is doing. So his conscience didn't tell him anything, but he just thought that he's loving God. So some people, they are so devoted till they are very scary. And why? That's because they are devoted, but they do not know the truth. They are very pious, but they do not know the truth. So the direction in which they are taking is another direction. But he walked in that direction very piously. He calls you every day to believe in this prophet who comes to Singapore. You must attend the special meeting, you know, that healing and deliverance. He will call you every day for this. But those who believe in the true gospel, they are not so devoted. Actually, we should be evangelizing in and out of season, but true believers, they are struggling to do that. But those who believe in the wrong gospel, in the worldly teachings, and they're really delighted in that. When I visited Israel, and when I came back, now in Israel, there's our brethren, our brothers and sisters, and I've spent 2 weeks in Israel, spending time with a traditional and charismatic Christian. And so in the WhatsApp chat, they keep sending messages. And they keep sending messages, you know, there's certain prophet coming and there's certain meeting where they conducted healing and deliverance. And certain prophets giving, you know, prophecies that you know, earthquake is happening somewhere. And then another message is being circulated saying that, you know, you need to eat this or that. So there's a lot of information in that group chat. They are all thinking that they are serving God. They thought so. So you do not just look for pious people, because if you throw one stone, you can easily hit a pious person in the church. But you must find someone who truly understands the truth and hears the truth clearly. Such people are very few. But if you know the right direction, then you use all your heart and might to run towards that direction, then it is right. Some things we believe to be true, but it's not true. Instead, it stumbles us. And it also makes us stumble others, or it also stumbles others. Yesterday, in the English service, I talked about in this 10 or 20 years, there is this prosperity gospel that sweep across churches. Initially, I was just thinking, what is this prosperity gospel? You know, in the United States, there's this very handsome pastor who mentioned, you know, this is the best life. So it's a very positive things in Christ. But you must not just believe that this is your best life, because you believe this is your best life, then in your next life, you may be in hell. The Bible tells us that our best life is not now. Instead, now is our worst life, because there is tears and suffering in this present life, but in the next life, when we see the Lord, that is our best life. But prosperity gospel on earth, people like that, because people like the health and wealth and success. And so they say, in the name of the Lord, I do this business, and people give you a prophecy that tells you your business will succeed. And so in these 10 years, a lot of such things sweep across all churches. And so churches almost all talk about this. And then traditional churches also started to talk about this. So dear brothers and sisters, such truths and such teachings, when people think that all these teachings are true, and they thought that in Christ it is that way, but they have actually taken away the core and the central point, and take away the loyalty and the faithfulness toward Christ, such that we cannot suffer for Christ, and we lose the heart to carry our own cross to follow the Lord. And so slowly we realize that people do not evangelize. The gospel that they evangelize are also nice-sounding gospel, but without convicting people of their sin. And that is the state of the gospel being weakened in this era. Now, verse 3, they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. So the key words is have not. You thought they have known, but they have not known at all. So the Lord said, in future, somebody will say, Lord, in your name I've cast out demons and do this and that. But the Lord said, I've never known you, because the Lord whom you know is the Lord whom you created on your own. But it's not the Lord Jesus that is revealed by the truth of God. So without the Bible, without the truth, you can transform Jesus into any way also can. You want to talk about Jesus and talk about him like Confucius or like a physician also can. Up to you. It's up to you. Then it's not right. So without the truth, the Bible, without clearly knowing the Lord through the Bible, the revelation in the Old and the New Testament, and now He is working through the Holy Spirit. Now, without knowing this clearly, you can say it however you want it. Now, some people say, let's not be so complicated. We just have a relationship with God. But relationship is just like a good feeling. But how do you know Him? How do you follow Him and obey Him? You do not know. But you just thought that it's a relationship. It's a relationship with my father, daddy. So in Taiwan, people always talk about daddy God. It's a very cute, because in Taiwan they are very full of this cartoon culture, and they are affected by this. Of course, he's my Abba father, but what kind of father is he? What are his attributes? Sometimes you just call him daddy, and feel very comforting. So all these are without the truth, but they are influenced by the modern culture, and it twisted our understanding of God. So when trials comes and suffering comes, no matter how you pray, you cannot pray. So do you understand me? How is the Lord with you in suffering? What is the Lord doing in suffering? But people do not know. And now verse 4, I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warn you. Now, this is very important. So when we go through trials, why can we endure it? Because long before this, we already knew. So when you undergo persecutions, you remember the Lord already told us that the world will hate us, and so blessed are the ones who are persecuted for righteousness and for the kingdom of God. So you need to remember this. I remember when COVID came last year, before that. So from year 2012 to 2015, we talk about the book of Revelation. For 3 years, we preach on the book of Revelation. So we have really talked about this. We talk about how God is and how churches are. We talk about Smyrna and Philadelphia churches. And we talk about, although your strength is small, but God is with you. Now, there's a lot of mega churches which may not please God. So in the end times, when trials and persecutions come, the church will all become smaller and smaller. I'm not against large masses meeting, but you think about it. If it's a church of 5,000 and 10,000 people, how do you shepherd them? Is it true? Small group? Yes. Cell group? But you have to question the life of your cell group leaders. Then in the cell group, for 10 or 20 people, there's some shepherding. Now for 5,000 and 10,000 people to meet, there is good atmosphere. But the true faith is not about good atmosphere, but you come to the Church of God, you need to give. You need to serve together. You even need to go through certain conflicts. That's how the early churches are. So when the end times comes, and when tribulations come, many people fell. One third people die or left. God has already prophesied that many people will fall. And by then, people will say that in the last days, all this mega church culture will gradually decline. These are just the phenomenon of the modern times. God's heartbeat is still small churches. So now when COVID struck, many churches couldn't open, and people just moved into homes to worship. So I have this peaceful conviction that God indeed, when COVID struck, God just used a little virus. God stopped everything. Now everyone have to go to the family, to the homes to worship. So that's the way. Now even at home, people also don't want to worship. So now mega churches of 5,000, 10,000 only become 50 people only. So everybody come, and everyone have to be involved in serving, in praying. Now if 5,000 people only come, nobody even know whether you attend church or not. Now, early churches, they are smaller. So this is a side point. But I want to say that when the COVID came, our heart already understood many things from the Word of God. We already understood the heart of God. We were just waiting. God, you are doing it. When and how are you doing it? But when God does it, we will not be shocked. It's already very good that we can meet in this way. Now, it's already too much people. After the service, people just left. So, I don't even know your names for two-thirds of you. Sometimes, when I look at the attendance list given me, now, who is this person, who is that person? I do not really know. But in my heart, I keep praying for you to bless you because you have come to the Church of God. And why are you coming? And may you use your word, God, to feed them. I can only pray in this way. But from the beginning, our church focused on preaching. And second is shepherding. So you should attend cell group. You also cannot ask people to be responsible or to pray for you. But we have to submit to one another and pray for one another. So the whole world hates you, and so all the more you have to feel that we belong to one another. We suffer together, we undergo persecution together. So the entire body of Christ goes through persecutions, and we will meet God in glory together. Of course, on earth, everyone have different suffering. You have your problem and the other person have their own problem, but we need to pray together and commit to the Lord and advance together. And this is a very critical perspective that the Lord has given we Christians, because in a suffering world, what should be our direction? Now we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. Now, verse 5 tells us, verse 4 also talk about, I've not told you these things before that, because I was still with you. You can still see the physical me. But very soon I'll be leaving you, and that's why what I told you will be kept in your heart. Holy Spirit will make you remember my words. And verse 5. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Actually, Peter had asked before. In chapter 13, verse 36, Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot come. And then Peter was a bit troubled, and Peter asked, where are you going? But back then, when Peter was asking, his focus was not on where the Lord was going, but his concern was, what about us? If you left, then what happened to us? He's not really curious about where exactly the Lord is going. And what are you doing over there? So now the Lord is saying, I'm about to leave. I'll be interceding for you at the right hand of the throne of God, and through the Holy Spirit, I will guide you. Now, because the disciples couldn't accept it, so the farewell discourse, one by one, the Lord tried to make them understand. If you want to make them understand the truth, it's not by one-time preaching. Now, today, you say, tomorrow you need to mention again, and then when people are troubled, you mention it again, then people can start to understand your point, your meaning. And verse 6, because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. Why grief? Because they couldn't understand God. In fact, more beautiful things will happen through the departure of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will come. And now verse 7, but I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if and Holy Spirit will bring more gracious manifestation than this incarnate Lord. The Holy Spirit will bring. Now, Jesus only bring human words. Now, human words, for me to speak something, I take 2 seconds. With my words, my terminology, sometimes you listen. Now, when men try to convince another person, our expression, our logic, etc. But humans is very hard. So, it's not about our logic, but our heart need to accept. So, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit uses the truth to convince people's heart. So now you are hearing. Some people don't really understand or cannot really accept. After going home and take a nap, you suddenly think of God, pastor's word, and you think that it is right. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring about this. So without the Holy Spirit, then this whole world will be full of lies, and people are only concerned about temporary stuff. So we have to understand the work of the Holy Spirit will enable a person to understand the truth and the Word of God. Sometimes we cannot understand the Word of God, and that's because someone who do not understand the truth of God is not because they don't understand logically, but they are very nearsighted. They only look at things before their eyes. My family, my debts, my children, they only look at things in front of them. The Holy Spirit will say that, I will not leave you. You cannot see tomorrow, but there's promises of God tomorrow. So you live under the hand of God, all things will work for your good. So the Holy Spirit points us further to the far. So when you raise your children, you're very anxious over the child's current state. But you need to have this assurance that in future, through your teaching, you will make this child mature and this child will understand. Now you're only teaching and raising your child. But when there's this foundation in your heart, you will not get affected because of the changes in your child or his reaction, fluctuation, because the Holy Spirit is helping you. So we humans are like this. We know that on earth there's certain anxious things like debts. You know, they like to tell me, you know, Pastor, I'm in debts. In the past, I am not sensible. I borrowed a lot of money, or my business went bankrupt, and I incur a huge debt. And so now I'm very broken. But the letters of the debts keep coming. Then how? Can brothers and sisters lend me money? Can the church lend me money to repay my debt? If I have money, I will lend to you. But let me tell you, if I lend to you and you go and repay the debt quickly, it may not be good for you. Because now this is your near problem. But how do you know that after you resolve this current debt issue, you will not enter into debts again? I always tell my co-worker, you must pray for such brethren. If the person really want to rely on the Lord, you must do this. For example, you apply from the bank to relief of certain interest, or you file for bankruptcy. But to repay this, you need to work. No, you earn a few thousand dollars, the next few thousand you need to repay it, whether it's 5 years or 10 years. And in the course of this 10 years of repayment, Holy Spirit will help you understand what is meant by contentment, what is meant by managing your finances, and be a good steward before God. And be responsible to the money that God has given you. And that is changing your heart. So if you want to immediately resolve the current problem, you think that is the best for you, Holy Spirit may not think so, because in the process, there's a lot of renewal and transformation work that needs to take place within you. So when we are shepherding people, now people only come before God with urgent need. But what they need to value is that their life must go through a lot of refinement, then they can be healed and transformed. I don't intend to talk about debts, but it's just an illustration. But actually, what I'm going to say is things that is even further away from the debt problem is about the entire human history that concerns the salvation of Christ. But now the disciples only concerned about their near situation. But the Lord told them that it is good for you that I leave you. And what is the Lord doing? Now verse 8, it is the theme for today. He comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. And in regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. So for sin, for righteousness, and for judgment, man have to rebuke himself. Now this sounds very strange. So in one word, the Holy Spirit wants to convict us of our guilt. So convict, in the Chinese, we cannot find a suitable term. It is to make you aware of your sin. Convict you of your sin. Convict means what? Convict means make you illuminated and be convinced. So this is meant to enlighten, refute, and convince you. So Lord, I'm indeed weak. Please have mercy on me. It's not you pretending, but in your inner heart, you produce this repentance, and that is the work of conviction. So all healing and deliverance must come from here, must start from here. Now, if a person is not convicted of his sin and guilt, and he didn't rebuke himself, and he comes to church, and he received all the grace, and he hallelujah and praise God, and he seek healing, deliverance, all these things will instead make the church even more chaotic and messy. It may even bring about the work of the evil one. Why? Because all this healing and deliverance makes people more emotional, makes people feel that I go to a place, somebody pray for me, and then we cry together. You thought the person is liberated, but the person only feel good after crying, but they didn't rebuke themselves because of their own sin. You need to discover where your sin is, but you only want to go and find some relief. You want to get liberated from your hurts and wounds, and so that this daddy God can understand me. You just want to get liberated from your hurts and wounds. But what about your sin? How have you opposed this God and live on your own since your birth? How have you been living for yourself? But you do not know that. Without knowing that, then that is not knowing your sin. If you use a false satisfaction, those movements that give saints false satisfaction, they are indeed the work of the evil one. I've seen a few places, people who always do this, they always give people healing, deliverance. First of all, the person doing it become proud. Wow, he can perform healing and deliverance for people. He feel very touched when he saw people crying. And he feel very proud that he had such a power to liberate people and make people cry and proclaim things. So the leader will slowly become proud. He is not wanting to clearly teach the word of God, but he bring people's attention to his own self. And then people who are crying all over the place, things that they never remember in the past, they start to remember. Me and my parents, they always favor the son and not the daughter. And there's a lot of unforgiveness between me and my mother-in-law, etc. But actually, some things have already been gradually been enlightened by God and healed. But now it's being shone on it with mega watts. And actually, the person had other sins that he is ignoring, but he's only staring and digging out his wounds. After that, if doing this for very long, this person will be imbalanced. His entire life will not have a very normal emotions. What I want to say is, such movement will make people suddenly hot and suddenly cold, suddenly passionate and suddenly relaxed. And the person go back home feeling good, but actually it makes people even more chaotic. Me and my one of our overseas church, I stopped them from doing this. I say, from now on, you stop doing this. If you continue to do this, the church will divide. If you want to approach me, you have to stop this. You must not listen to Pastor Chu's message and doing all these things at the same time, because the Lord is not pleased. Now, when I talk about this in Taipei is like the headquarters of all these things. You know, they're all jumping there, crying there, and that's what's happening in the churches there. So if I don't say this in Taipei, then when else can I say? So dear brothers and sisters, let me say again, without convicting you of the sin, without telling you where the sin is not just I don't forgive my so-and-so. Actually, within that unforgiveness, there's this big me, my feeling, my wants, my opinions, my, and that me didn't die. If you didn't die to this, another self will come, will rise. So without the enlightenment of the truth, it will not change. Now, there's three things. Sin is, you do not believe in God, you do not believe in the Savior sent by God, you do not believe in the truth of God. Of course, we have 1 million sins. We commit sin every day when we wake up, when we say certain things and think of certain things, and we have temper. But you must know what sin is this. The sin is you reject the messenger of God. You reject the Savior sent by God. So here it says, in regard to sin, it's because they do not believe in me. And in regard to righteousness, it's because I am going to the Father and you can see me no longer. So whose righteousness? Christ's righteousness. He completely submits to the Father and he fulfills everything. Then he goes back to the Father. In his 33 and a half years on earth, he fully submitted and obeyed Father God without any sin. He's a righteous man. And he showed this to the sinful world to let the world know that you have crucified this righteous and sinless man on the cross, and he's perfectly righteous and sinless. In the whole entire human history, there's only one such person. And the rest of you, You may be bankrupt. You have illness. That's because of your sin. Only Jesus, he shouldn't be going through any punishment, but he went to the cross. So in regard to righteousness, he wanted to fulfill God's righteousness. And in regard to sin, in regard to righteousness, and then next, in regard to judgment. So after understanding your sin and God's righteousness, then either you repent to accept Him, or else you follow your father, Satan, and you reject this Lord, and you walk in your own way. And so Satan is already condemned. The prince of the world is already condemned. So the prince of the world certainly will not accept this Lord, Savior. So the prince of this world up to now, when our Lord Jesus got crucified and He died and resurrected and He ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit comes, and that is the start of the end times. So end times, 2,000 years, God preserved this world. Actually, this world is constantly being judged. And towards the end times, there's more and more calamities, earthquakes. A nation will go against nation. In the last century, there's already two world wars. And the reason why this world is being preserved is because God wants to receive and win over His own people. Those people who are convicted of their guilt of sin. So the world is preserved for them. So Sunday, when we come to church, you must know that, in fact, God is looking at the whole world, the entire human history. God is preserving this world for His saints. So one moment you can live, if you can preach the gospel, you can turn one person from hell to heaven. So why, that is the reason why God preserved this time. And every time when I think about this, many of my worries and troubles I can put down. Although on earth, I also have flesh and blood. I also have money to manage and children to teach. But without the main direction and the core work of the Holy Spirit, without understanding that, it's as if we are living for now. I'm just living for my children. But you love your children so much. You only focus on your children now. Have you ever thought about it? One day, when your child becomes 20 over years and he has his own life, and you say, my children have grown up and I'm at peace, then, okay. Suddenly, you will feel very lost. Because for 10 or 20 years, you only exist like for your child. Although we have the responsibility to raise the child, this child is given me, even my love to toward him is also to reveal Father God's love to me. In the course of raising the children, the difficulties will make me rely on God even more so that I can bless many other parents. Then the purpose for my and my children's existence is meaningful. So if you want a child, you need to know you want a child for what purpose. It's not just instinct. You want to pass on the family line. That's not Christian thinking. Even if you still have that kind of instinct, but you need to be enlightened by the Spirit of Truth. How do you view your child? And in the difficulties of raising the child, you keep asking yourself, is that all to feed him, to bring him to school and let him grow up taller and taller, and so what? Oh, then he's taller than me, I feel very proud. Is that all? Then where are the two of you going in the end? So Christians, if you see the Lord, you have reward. So once you get through this, you will understand many things. Now, if the Holy Spirit wants to show us God's work across human history, the salvation history, if you do not understand, then even your eating, this is also meaningless if you do not understand the big picture. So now, when I say this, you think about it. The disciples only are concerned about where is the Lord going. So verse 12, Jesus said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Because now of their current situation, they are very anxious. Another thing is, the Jews, they have their old way of the written code, the laws and so on. So Jesus said, in future you will understand. When you are liberated from all the Jewish rituals and laws, you know that you are no longer under law but under grace. You'll be even more amazed. You understand that the uncircumcised Gentiles, the Holy Spirit will go to them also. So if the Lord says some more, they will be confused. And then verse 13, but when He, the truth of the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. So dear brothers and sisters, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will tell us all these things. So Peter started to understand that even Cornelius, such a family, they can be saved. Paul, for his whole life, he has been guarding the law, and he based his righteousness on the law, and he realized that is not the case. People are justified by faith, just like Abraham. So all these things will only be instructed to us when Holy Spirit comes. Now we already can understand, and here it says, Holy Spirit will also tell us things that are to come. Now many people, when they interpret the Bible, they are wrong is they are very convicted by this word, you know, about the things that are to come. So they think about prophecies of earthquakes and so on, whichever country, or you know, whether Trump will get elected, or all these prophecies are what people are curious about. But this is the errors in interpreting the Bible. When Jesus talked about the things that are to come, Jesus already saw the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, Joel said that your children will prophesy, your old will dream dreams, and you will know the salvation plan of God from Jerusalem all the way to Gentile and to save all people. So these are the things that are to come. And then the apostles also taught many things, prophecies about the end times, false preachers are coming up, and Jesus are coming back. And all these have already been completely mentioned in the Bible. So the Bible is already completed. So the Bible is already finished AD 300 plus years. This biblical canon has already been confirmed, and it has passed the test of time and human scrutiny. So this is the Word of God. For many years, it has been left without change. And after this, now you start to say, oh, there's things that are to come, and some people want to hear some prophecies and revelations. Now, that is dangerous. Because the things that are to come has already been mentioned in the Bible. Now, if you want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, do you want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit will instruct you. So for you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you have to read the Bible and repeatedly ponder and meditate upon the Word of God. Repeatedly mull over the Word of God, because God's voice is in His Word. Concerning everything, if you read this Bible, whether it's about raising your children or your debts, you will know what the Lord is telling you. You will know how the Lord is telling you to face this situation. So the voice of the Holy Spirit comes from the Bible. So I urge you in this way. Last year, when Trump didn't get re-elected, so all those charismatic prophets were given a slap. Who asked you to give such prophecy? I even think so. First, sort out this thing. Whether he got re-elected, that is another matter. If he's going to be re-elected in 2024, the church must be clear so that the saints must not go crazy over such prophecy. Because if you do not read the Bible and you are crazy over prophecies, that is dangerous. So I want to warn you. And so finally, the work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify God. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. So the Holy Spirit will not go beyond what the Lord wants to do. If you know the voice of the Holy Spirit, you need to read God's word well, the truth that is revealed by God. And so all that belongs to the Father is mine. So Father and Son is equal and they co-work. That's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are equal and they co-work. They are doing different things. Father predestined, Son fulfills, and now the Son ascended to the throne. Holy Spirit will continue to. Spread out what the Lord Jesus has fulfilled and continue to speak to God's people, speak to the unreached people so that people can be convicted of their sin. So we understand the Holy Spirit. Especially some church, they call themselves the Holy Spirit Church. They should be called Christ Church. Because Holy Spirit, what kind of spirit? The work of the Holy Spirit is because like our Lord is already ascended to heaven, but He continues to speak through the Holy Spirit. He never stops speaking. The work that He wanted to do, those that He wanted to save, is continuously being done through the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the thing that Lord Jesus wanted to do most? Is it just to make you feel very warm and let you see some vision and make you cry? No. What God wants to do is to exalt Christ and bring people before Christ instead of to some prophet, and so that people can be convicted of their sin, so that people love the truth, goes back to the truth, and meditate on the truth day and night, and receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit in all things. And you know that He is with you, He's guiding you. So on earth you'll be more than conquerors. Now who experienced this? Now, in conclusion, I want to end with this verse. Our Apostle Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul, how did he experience the work of the Holy Spirit? That is in a very normal way. Verse 10, you, however, so this is written to Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. Persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, the persecution I endured. Why? Why was he persecuted? Because of the message he preached. And so the world hated him. Now, if he preached a message of the world, you believe in the Greek God or whatever, you don't have to change and add on Jesus, he will not be persecuted. But dear brothers and sisters, so he gone through huge persecutions, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So I believe someone who is indeed filled with the Holy Spirit and want to preach Christ, whether in the office or in the family, they will want to exalt Christ. And on earth, he will have the tension and trouble. He will have conflict with the worldly philosophies and thinking. Because what the world wants to preach is different from what he wants to preach. But when you live out the righteousness of Christ in you, people of the world may not feel comfortable, but in the process of this, amazingly, the people of God will be won over. And so that's why although we live in a very comfortable environment on earth, but we need some tribulations and trials. But without any struggles and tensions, how can you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Because without sufferings, you will not want to rely on this Lord. So Paul said that Bible is God-breathed. And before this, Paul said to Timothy, "You have seen how I've obeyed the word of God and how Holy Spirit rescued me from all the persecutions, how the Holy Spirit sustained and guarded my heart. I've not lost my faith. I've gone through such persecutions, and all the false prophets, they couldn't bear it. They couldn't endure it. Those who preach the wrong gospel, they only want to have temporary and earthly benefits. They will give up easily. But I cannot give up because this God is real, and His power in me is true." So Paul was persecuted in this area. He moved on to another area and so on. So when we read this, we may think that is his generation. But in fact, in every generation, the prince of the world is the same. As long as he is still not put into the final lake of fire, he will continue to work this. So today, in this Singapore culture, in this prosperous society, the culture, the kind of temptation and work he brings, he wants you to enjoy the comfortable life. You have to resist that. You need to pray that the Holy Spirit can bring me into all truth so that I can understand the truth of God and preach the truth and even suffer for this truth. And so in the process of this, you understand the help of the Holy Spirit and you enjoy His power, you hear His voice. So everybody hear the Holy Spirit in differing extent and degree. So we must understand the truth. And may Lord bless you. And today we observe the Holy Communion together. May Lord help us be enlightened through the truth and the work of the Holy Spirit. So we come before Lord to rely on Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for using Your word to teach and encourage us, to enlighten us, so that we know clearly that You have not left us. On the right side of the heavenly throne, You are interceding for us. You are also with us through the Holy Spirit, so that we keep speaking what You want to say and live out what You want us to live. Lord, please help everyone who hears the word today, first of all, to be brought before You because of the word we hear. Many a times our problem is none other than our focus has shifted away from You. We focus on things outside of You. In fact, all those things will be given to us by You. But Lord, we come before You to ask of You to give us once again a renewed heart so that we can love You more, rely on You more, and preach You more, and be satisfied in You. May the Holy Spirit help us that in this suffering world, in season and out of season, by Your great power, we can testify for You, be involved in Your ministries and glory, so that as we do this, our heart will long more to meet You. Lord, please help us, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.